The Loudest Guest: How to Change and Control Your Relationship with Fear. Introduction: The Unwelcome Visitor. Fear, we all know it. That nagging voice in our heads that tells us we're not good enough, that we'll fail, that we shouldn't take risks. It's like an unwelcome guest that shows up uninvited and overstays its welcome. But what if I told you that this guest, this fear, doesn't have to control your life? What if you could learn to quiet its voice and take back control? As a psychologist who has spent years studying fear and its impact on human behavior, I've seen firsthand how fear can paralyze us, keeping us from reaching our full potential. But I've also discovered that fear is just a guest in our minds, a loud one, certainly, but still just a guest. And as the host, we have the power to manage this guest and reduce its influence on our lives. Part 1: Understanding Your Loudest Guest. Let's start by getting to know this guest a little better. Fear isn't inherently bad. In fact, it's an essential part of our survival instinct. It's what kept our ancestors alive in the face of real, physical dangers. But in our modern world, where saber-toothed tigers are no longer a threat, our fear response often gets triggered by things that aren't actually dangerous, like public speaking, asking for a raise, or pursuing a new career path. The problem is, our brains can't always tell the difference between a real threat and an imagined one. So we end up feeling the same rush of adrenaline and cortisol, whether we're facing a charging lion or preparing for a job interview. This is why fear can feel so overwhelming and all-consuming. But here's the thing: just because fear is loud doesn't mean it's always right. In fact, it's often wrong. It's like that overly cautious friend who always sees the worst-case scenario in every situation. Sometimes, we need to learn to thank fear for its concern, but then politely ask it to take a back seat while we get on with living our lives. Part 2: The 6 Steps to Quieting Your Fear. Now that we understand our loudest guest a bit better, let's talk about how we can manage it. I've developed a 6-step process to help you change your relationship with fear. 1. Recognize. The first step is simply to recognize when fear is speaking. Often, we're so used to fear's voice that we don't even realize it's not our own thoughts. Start paying attention to those moments when you feel hesitant, anxious, or resistant to change. Chances are, that's fear talking. 2. Name. Once you've recognized fear, give it a name. This might sound silly, but it's a powerful way to create some distance between yourself and your fear. You might call it your inner critic, or worry wart, or even give it a specific name like Fred. The point is to see it as separate from yourself. 3. Challenge. Now it's time to challenge fear's story. Fear often presents worst-case scenarios as absolute truths. Ask yourself, is this really true? What evidence do I have for and against this belief? What's the most likely outcome? 4. Reframe. After challenging fear's story, try reframing the situation. Instead of seeing it as a threat, how could you view it as an opportunity? For example, if you're afraid of public speaking, could you reframe it as a chance to share your knowledge and help others? 5. Act. This is where the rubber meets the road. Once you've recognized, named, challenged, and reframed your fear, it's time to take action. Remember, courage isn't the absence of fear, it's acting despite fear. 6. Reflect. After you've taken action, take some time to reflect. What happened? Was it as bad as fear predicted? What did you learn? Celebrating your successes, no matter how small, can help build your confidence for future challenges. Part 3: Fear in Action. Real-life examples. Let's look at how this process might play out in real life. Take Sarah, a client of mine who dreamed of starting her own business but was paralyzed by fear of failure. She recognized that every time she thought about quitting her job, her heart would race and her palms would sweat. She named this fear the Dream Crusher. Sarah challenged the Dream Crusher story that she would definitely fail and end up broke and homeless. She realized that while failure was a possibility, it wasn't a certainty. She had savings, marketable skills, and a supportive network. She reframed the situation, seeing it as an opportunity to create something meaningful and potentially help others. With this new perspective, Sarah took action. She started working on her business plan in her free time. After each small step, she reflected on her progress. She realized that even the setbacks weren't as catastrophic as the Dream Crusher had predicted. Over time, the Dream Crusher's voice got quieter, and Sarah's confidence grew. Part 4: The Ripple Effect of Quieting Fear. As you learn to manage your fear, you'll likely notice changes in various areas of your life. Relationships might improve as you become more open and vulnerable. Career opportunities may open up as you take more risks and speak up more often. Your overall well-being might increase as you spend less energy worrying and more energy living. But perhaps the most profound change is in how you see yourself. As you prove to yourself, time and time again, that you can face your fears and survive, even thrive, your self-confidence grows. You start to see yourself as capable, resilient, and brave. Part 5: Embracing Discomfort, the Path to Growth. It's important to note that the goal isn't to eliminate fear entirely. Not only is that impossible, but it's also not desirable. Remember, fear serves a purpose. Instead, the aim is to develop a healthier relationship with fear, to see it as useful information rather than an immutable command. This means learning to be comfortable with discomfort. Growth and comfort rarely coexist. Every time you push past your fear to try something new, you're expanding your comfort zone. It might feel uncomfortable in the moment, but that discomfort is the feeling of growth. Think of it like exercise. When you work out, you're essentially creating tiny tears in your muscles. It's uncomfortable, even painful at times. But as those tears heal, your muscles grow stronger. The same principle applies to facing your fears. Each time you do it, you're building your courage muscles. Conclusion: Your journey begins now. As we wrap up, I want to leave you with this thought. You are not your fear. You are the host, and fear is merely a guest in your mind. A loud guest, certainly, but still just a guest. You have the power to turn down its volume, to challenge its stories, and to act despite its protests. This journey of changing your relationship with fear isn't always easy. There will be setbacks and moments of doubt. But with practice and persistence, you can learn to quiet your loudest guest and reclaim control of your life. Remember, courage isn't about not feeling fear. It's about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So the next time you feel that familiar tightness in your chest or butterflies in your stomach, take a deep breath and remind yourself, "This is just my loudest guest talking. I hear you, fear, but I'm in charge here." Your journey to a braver, more authentic life starts now. Are you ready to quiet your loudest guest?